Hello and welcome to Geek Culture Online. I'm your host, Patrick Bolin, and today we're going to be doing a special preview of Captain Marvel, which is going to be being released 1 week from today.
Yes.
Yes, and I'm here with my two favorite co-hosts, Larry and Ethan, on location.
And hey. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
And 1 week, less than 7 days to the countdown.
Countdown.
Now, 7 days from last night, actually.
Yes.
6 p.m. As of yesterday p.m. So we're actually 6 days away then.
Yes, listeners, have you purchased your tickets online? I have mine for Saturday evening at the IMAX.
I have mine for opening night.
Yes, so everybody get your tickets.
Yes, because we're gonna dissect this as much as we possibly can. There's a million things out there in forums and online, and everybody is just speculating. So let's really, really try to do a Monday morning quarterback and try to figure out some things that other people haven't seen.
But one little addendum to what I'm saying is, what's the number of the pre-sales? This is the largest pre-sales of any movie, movie?
It's beat out Iron Man 3 for pre-sales.
Okay, and it surpassed Wonder Woman as well.
I'd
have to check that. But
I believe I read that it has surpassed Wonder Woman as well.
Right. So again, we're talking about 120 million plus. I mean, that's a lot of money.
It's really strange. Before these tickets went on sale, the studios were saying that they were speculating that it was going to be a $180 million opening.
Okay.
It was downgraded to 100, but it's right now, because of pre-sales, at 120, if not better, because obviously the fever is getting everybody, and there are more and more and more tickets are going on sale, and there are places where everything is like sold out already.
Right.
So,
I mean, $120 million, that's a boatload of money, however you count it.
Oh yes, oh yes.
The early reviews from people who've seen previews has been overwhelmingly positive. So I know there were some little shenanigans going on Rotten Tomatoes, where people who hadn't seen the movie and don't want to see a movie featuring a female lead character do well were giving negative reviews without even seeing the movie. But the people who have actually seen it have been giving it very rave reviews. Which, of course, you know, once you get good word of mouth out, then there's a good chance that box office goes up.
Right. And seeing the movie is obviously much more valuable than some sort of theoretical concept in your racism.
Right, and also, exactly. Because of this backlash of all these people that have not seen it and are having all this negative, you know,
commentary. Right.
Rotten Tomato has adjusted their policy.
That's right.
As of today, I think I was reading, or it was yesterday, that they will not post or open up the comment section unless the movie has been released.
And that's too bad that it has to come to that, but that makes sense.
Why was it released?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, why put up a comment section if it hasn't been released?
Right, you don't want people giving away spoilers, but even by accident, you know, mention.
Well, that's why there's a moratorium on critics and stuff talking about it. That's why it was opened up on Wednesday of last week the critics could start talking about it, but obviously they can only talk about it in certain terms. They can't give any details.
Right.
This is not synced up like Avengers Endgame is, where it's being released worldwide all at the same time. It's being released here in the States first, and then other places. So,
overseas. Yeah. One last fun fact on this. I have here from 1 day ago, Captain Marvel IMAX pre-sales tracking ahead of Wonder Woman and Thor 3, so Thor Ragnarok, beating IMAX. I'm going to see an IMAX opening weekend, so there you go. So, I mean, this is serious money, because as we know, IMAX tickets are more expensive than regular tickets or 3D. So, again, this is pulling in serious coin,
people haven't seen it yet. This is pre-sales.
And I have two tickets. I'm going with my daughter. But here's the point. You know, this is, again, I've said this on previous podcasts with both of you gentlemen and others. I heard of Captain Marvel, but I never read the comic books. I never really followed it that much. So this is kind of new to me.
This is an interesting character, because this actually goes back to the late 60s. Okay. Carol Danvers, the one that is now Captain Marvel, started off as kind of like an assistant or like a Jane to Thor.
Sidekick, right.
Sidekick.
Okay.
And like a sidekick.
And so the character was already there. It's just that she was a human that was dealing with Captain Marvel, which was the original Captain Marvel. And so she had this relationship with them. They fell in love. There was the Jude Law character.
Right.
Who's
prominent.
Is that official yet? That
yes.
Jude Law is, in fact, playing Marvel?
No. He's playing the...
Have they announced his character name?
Well, yes. If you go to IMDb, his character's name is on there. His he plays the one that was kind of like not a villain, but he was kind of like to for other people to kind of get a perspective. He was almost like a Loki to a Thor with Captain Marvel.
Right.
He was this other Kree warrior that was vastly jealous of Captain Marvel because he was going out with Carol Danvers, so he kidnapped her. He tortured her to try to get Captain Marvel to like give up the ghost and say no, she's going to be with me now. And so that's the character's name.
That's well, I mean,
movie,
Jude,
but doesn't necessarily mean that's the character in the movie, because obviously this is the cinematic universe, so things have massively changed because of the Supreme Intelligence is also in the movie, but it's being played by
Annette Bening, who is a Hollywood icon, basically, mm-hmm. Almost like a throwback. You know, she's married to Warren Beatty, who was a big sex symbol in the 60s and 70s. This is old school Hollywood. But it's weird that she's playing in a human form. At least that's the preview I saw.
Yes, because she's wearing this green costume.
Yes.
And in the comic books, the Supreme Intelligence is this giant blob
head. That massive green blob. Yeah, yes. It's like if the blob had a face.
Yeah, because basically, it's an artificially created intelligence that took over
all the intelligence of like 1,000 years or something.
Yeah,
like the Kree society or something.
Yeah,
like
so she is now being played in a humanoid form.
Correct. Yes.
Almost kind of like how Jabba the Hutt was originally portrayed by a human, and then
correct.
It was digitized into the slug.
Correct.
So in the one trailer, we see her being in a green costume. I guess that's playing a tip of the hat.
Talking to the blob.
Yep,
talking to Captain Marvel, Brie Larson's character.
Yes.
Right.
If you go to places like IMDb and Marvel's YouTube channel, there's over a dozen different videos and stuff about Captain Marvel, and one of them shows another character that Carol Danvers played, which was Binary. There's been many variations of Captain Marvel, which turned into Captain Marvel. In fact, if you wanted to really dig deep, you'll notice that DC had a character called Captain Marvel,
which is Shazam.
Well, he originally started with another comic line, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Fawcett Comics.
DC got the rights to him.
Yes.
Right, and then DC got the rights to him in the, 60s or 70s.
Yes. Yeah, so the whole entire story was that back when Batman and Superman came out, everybody else went, oh, my God, they're making money hands over fist. So they all came out with their own superheroes, and one of them was Fawcett Publishing, which came out with a character called Shazam or Captain Marvel. And DC went, oh no, that's way, way, way too popular, and it's selling comic books hand over fist. We can't have that.
Right.
So they took him to court, saying that they've copied Superman.
Right.
And right. And it was in court for a long time in the 40s. Fawcett lost the lawsuit. So they had to stop publishing Shazam and Captain Marvel comics.
So you understand how this, and I will admit to this is why it was always confusing for me when I was younger, because there was Captain Marvel,
mm-hmm.
and I kept thinking, wait, but isn't there Captain America?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would almost like conflate the two. This one I was very young. But so it got very muddled.
It gets even more muddled.
I'm sure it does.
When DC, in the late 60s, bought the rights to the character outright, and then by this time, when they finally got the dust settled on their end, Marvel had come out with a character called Captain Mar-Vell. And then in the early 70s, DC and Marvel went to court because of the name Captain Marvel. And so after the dust settled from that lawsuit, DC cannot publish a comic with on the cover saying Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, yeah.
Okay. Marvel can publish comic books with the cover saying Captain Marvel. But DC can call Shazam, which is Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel inside the comic.
I have a question.
But the title of the comic is Shazam.
Anything else, but like okay. Now everything is called Shazam now.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can Captain Mar-Vell, when he or she is hungry, eat Car-Vell ice cream? Anyway, never mind.
You're stretching.
Anyway, I'm just okay.
And if you're confused now, Larry, yes. Just imagine this. Not only do we have the film Captain Marvel coming out from Marvel Studios,
yes,
Warner Brothers is releasing a film of Shazam.
Right, I know.
Well.
Oh, right. In 2 weeks. 2 weeks after Captain Marvel is out.
The Shazam movie is coming out 2 weeks
yep.
afterwards.
Yes.
Aye. Okay.
Yeah. Now here's where.
In fact, real quick story. So yeah. On, I believe it was during the Super Bowl, they showed a preview for Shazam.
Yes.
And my brother said to me, he said, "Oh, is that the TV series?" I said, "No, it's the movie." He said, "I thought they had the female Captain Marvel in the movie." I said, "Well, you're confusing Captain Marvel with Shazam."
Mm-hmm.
So it's confusing even for people who've been exposed to both characters.
And what's really worse is that. When DC was publishing the Captain Marvel characters, they were trying to appeal to all audiences because, see, there's Shazam, there's Captain Marvel Jr., there's Mary Marvel, there's Uncle Marvel, and there's a huge, large amount of Shazam characters in there. What they've done recently is kind of distilled it and got it back and got rid of all the barnacles and got it down to its original three. So there's okay. Shazam, or Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel Jr., and Mary Marvel.
All right, so let's get off the confusing part because I'm almost lost.
And then don't want to talk about Dark Captain Marvel,
no.
Which is called Adam, Dark Adam.
Okay. Does anybody want to know Jude Law's character name?
Sure, I completely forgot it.
Jon Rogg, I looked
right.
it up.
Yeah. Y capital Y O N hyphen capital R O G G.
Yes. He's a Kree warrior, too.
Okay, he's a Kree warrior, okay.
Yeah.
No, here's the
interesting. Go ahead. In fact, in one of the early previews, they showed a clip from a scene where you saw Jude Law's character, Jon Rogg, along with Korath, who was played by Jaman Huntsu
in
Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and Ronan from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, yes. Right. So, yeah, I want to touch on Ronan's in this movie. Because, of course, this movie takes place in the 1990s.
1996.
Way before the Guardians of the Galaxy happens in 2014. And, yes, I think Jaman Huntsu, right, Korath, right, he's credited in this movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
He was in one of the first scenes in Guardians of the Galaxy shooting at Star-Lord.
Yes.
So, again... For listeners out there, if you think, well, this is confusing, maybe you should go back and watch Guardians of the Galaxy again to get a little extra primer on some of these characters, right? I mean, that's what I would do if to kind of – so when you see these people, like, wait, where did I see these people from?
Or just Guardians of the Galaxy. Listen to our podcast on about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, listen to our podcast about Guardians of the Galaxy, but also maybe watch that movie so you see Ronan – obviously, you see Ronan's demise. No spoiler alert here.
Oh, yeah. Right? You kind of ruined it for everybody out there.
But anyway, but Ronan is the main bad guy in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
I don't think he is in this movie. Well, we don't
know. No.
But probably not.
No. Go ahead.
And another good primer for this film also would be to listen to the podcast Patrick and I did last year on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Okay. Because there were a number of storylines in S.H.I.E.L.D. involving the Kree, of course, an important role in this film. Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, gets her powers from the Kree, and as well as, of course, Agent Coulson and Nick Fury are in this, so there's a tie to S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. So if you want a little history on the first 100 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we did a podcast on that, like I said, about a year ago.
Okay, so again, Listeners, you have a lot of homework to do before you see Captain Marvel. And, get cracking.
And now the main villain of this, which they're hinting at, we can only go by the footage that we have seen, is the Skrulls. Now,
right.
That was introduced in Fantastic Four number 4 back in 1961. So this is interesting that they've been able to use the Skrulls, even though that is under the heading of the Fantastic Four or that grouping here. So how they managed to pull that off is remarkable, because they wanted to use the Skrulls back with the Avengers movie, and they had to create the villains in that.
Right, but Patrick, that you're talking about a comic book from the 1960s, right?
The thing is, the Fantastic Four is still being owned by Fox.
20th Century Fox, and the merger still hasn't gone through yet?
No, the ink is not dry.
Yeah, I'm just guessing that they must have worked something out with Fox.
Just like they did with Spider-Man with Sony.
Well, the difference being that Spider-Man, there were already five movies that Sony had released, mm-hmm. whereas with the Skrulls, Fox has never used the Skrulls in any of their films, so it's something they could definitely get away with.
Yeah, not true, because it's probably easier to make a deal with a character that you haven't used than something that's already been on the screen. So
right. I mean, they have the rights to them, but if they're not doing anything with them, Marvel could easily say, hey, you know, probably while Disney and Fox were negotiating this deal, they said, hey, while we're at it, you know, we need Marvel to use the Skrulls in these movies coming up, so you're not using them. Let's just work that into the deal.
Yeah, because, I mean, like Spider-Man, he was not all over, but it was a good chunk of screen time in Captain America Civil War. So.
Well, yeah, and also there was already five movies underneath Sony's belt, and they had Venom coming out, and they had the Sinister Six that they're planning and all this stuff.
Right,
The
intellectual property you could put a value on with Spider-Man and others like Venom. Mm-hmm. But these, they haven't been put on screen, so,
not yet. So yeah.
it's a tenable, you know, it's a dubious amount of money.
And the Skrulls...
Not to mention Spider-Man is a known character outside of those who are familiar with the comics.
Right.
He's a well-known character just in pop culture. Most people who haven't read comic books couldn't tell a Skrull from a creep. So.
No. That is very true.
But everybody knows who Spider-Man is,
And so...
Absolutely.
And so now they're almost world-building again here, because this is...
A la Guardians of the Galaxy,
because it's all cosmic. They do a lot of it on Earth. Which is kind
like Guardians of the Galaxy, I think we're on Earth a little bit more than Guardians of the Galaxy, though.
And they're introducing a whole ton of characters on the fringes have been mentioned or shown on screens in some other previous Marvel movies. So but what's really interesting is that Captain Marvel, played by
Brie Larson,
Carol Danvers. Character has gone through major changes since she became Captain Marvel. There was the bikini costume that
that's not in this movie.
no, because when they first brought in...
That's from the 1970s?
Yeah, they brought in... you just mentioned the actress's name, and it just blanked out.
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. They brought Brie Larson in and said, we want you to play this character. And they had all of these storyboards and all these pictures and stuff, and they showed the metamorphosis of the character going through the decades. And so she pointed at that and says, are we going to deal with that? And they went, no. Because she's had two bikini costumes. One of them was basically a one-piece bathing suit that had the stomach
the
area
torso,
cut out.
Then
the black one, it was a black one-piece bathing suit that had a sash tied around her waist.
Right. Neither really appropriate for any time frame, but especially in today's world, those are sexist costumes, in my opinion. So
that's how they were trying to mimic some of the female characters that were out there, like Supergirl and Power Girl and all these other ones. So they were kind of trying to, go like, okay, we're going to mirror or touch on those type of costumes so, people can identify with it. So it just, now the costume that she has now is kind of reflecting back to the original Captain Marvel yes. costume. Because yeah. the original Captain Marvel was a green costume. And right. you see her in a green costume in this one. Right. The, later on, when he became a really powerful cosmic being, he was the, had this red and blue costume,
right.
which she is right. in a red and blue costume.
Red and blue costume, right. But let's and that we see in the previews.
And
but,
then the binary, she becomes right. a very, like almost like a phoenix character for the ones people that are aware of the X-Men comics. She right. almost becomes a phoenix-like character that is like entirely built out of energy, right. and that's and you see that in the one of the trailers correct. Where she's got her ponytail thing, which reflects her binary stage from the, I think that was late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
So they've touched on every single metamorphosis of the character since the late 60s.
Now, with a little disclaimer,
except for the bikini phase.
The bikini, oh, yeah, right. That's not in the movie.
They
right.
leapfrogged over that, right. and they
which is
on.
Fine. But let me just give the disclaimer.
And just real quick point, when she was introduced in that in the 70s, Carol Danvers' character was Ms. Marvel.
Yes, that was.
Ms.
M-S 70s. Period, right. Yeah. A very 70s type of title. Yeah. Not a bad title, but just a very right. a very period piece type for the 70s.
Very good point about that. I completely leapfrogged over that.
Now, with all this, and I'm not doubting that she will wear these costumes, at least the blue and red one, and what have you, let's just remind our listeners, we've talked about this before in other podcasts, that Marvel is very good at showing us previews of scenes to, one, obfuscate, distract us, and to maybe disarm us and to throw us off course, right?
Okay.
And also, you know, they're not in order, and sometimes there's scenes in previews that don't even show up in the movie.
Right, well, because, you know, how marketing works
just
is...
Just a warning to listeners. So, yeah, I mean, don't just assume what we're talking about in the previews will be instantly in the movie and tweet us angrily because it might not be there.
Right, well, you know, marketing gets a lot of the footage while they're still... even before they're editing the
right.
film, to because they got to build their stuff...
Build the trailers.
While the movie... And all the marketing stuff of while the movie's being made.
Right.
So it's a good point that Larry put it out is that one scene that's in the Avengers Infinity War trailer where it has everybody rushing through the woods in the Wakanda woods.
Wakanda forest.
Coming at the camera, and you see the Hulk there,
right.
and he never shows up in the movie in that form.
Right. In the movie, he's never... And I was
but
looking for it. I was looking for it, but he was never there.
Now, there's... What...
Larry. But we don't know that. We don't know if that's going to happen again.
Like I've said in previous podcasts, that's going to be an end game, and I'm still sticking to my
guns. Okay. But with Captain Marvel, so again, they've thrown a lot of several trailers at us, right? Over the months.
A lot of it, but there's I think you're alluding at the two scenes that they may or may not have bleeped somebody out.
Again, I'm just trying to warn the listeners that we've discussed not on the podcast, yes. and I want to tell people, just because it's in the trailer doesn't mean it's going to be in the movie.
Well, there is two major scenes, and you can see them both on the Marvel YouTube channel and the Marvel webpage and also on IMDb,
sure.
Is that there's two scenes where they see a group of characters from the movie, and the way that they're standing and being positioned, there seems to be a gap. With this shot, and so everybody on the internet and everybody went nuts.
Interwebs
and the interwebs. They said that that person's been bleeped out. There's somebody missing.
But we don't know. That's just pure speculation.
And then they showed another scene that all these characters like marching, and everybody's evenly spaced out, except there's this big gap between two.
Oh wait! I know. Ethan, Patrick, it's Thanos. Thanos is missing.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
All right.
Well, you know, solved.
Yeah. Boom. That's we can go back home now.
Bye, everybody. Good night.
No. Yeah. But so there's that gap, and there's also other things where they're showing a lot of things out of order. Now, what's interesting is that her cat.
Yes, the cat's become very famous. I was reading about the cat.
Yeah, they changed the cat's name because the comic books it was called Chewy.
Right, now it's called Goose the Cat.
Yeah, because of her...
It's like a tabby.
Well, yeah, because of her being a pilot. So they were reflecting back on
Top Gun.
Yes.
Goose. Good old Goose.
Maverick and Goose.
And Goose.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
now, the thing is that they really speculated and thought about... Kevin Feige even talked about this in an interview, is that they went back and forth a lot about this. Do we keep the cat's name as Chewie or not? So they really, really did some hard thinking about this, and they went ahead and changed it, thinking that, you know, it was a little too much Star Wars.
Right, right. That's what I'm reading here. They're saying Chewie's is – I mean, when I hear Chewie, I think of Chewbacca. I mean, I'll admit to it. That's what I think of first, not a cat, not anything with Captain Marvel.
Sure.
And again, they're saying here that they decided to trade the Star Wars moniker Chewie for a Top Gun reference and rename the cat Goose, a nod to Carol Danvers' early career as an Air Force pilot in the 80s, yeah, a la Top Gun with Tom Cruise's character and Goose.
Now, there's an interesting...
Which makes sense.
Right.
Well, yeah. And the cat is...
Not to mention the fact, since Disney owns Marvel and they also own Star Wars now, they definitely don't want to... get the two confused.
Right, right. Don't muddy the waters, right.
Yeah, they don't want to keep mentioning each other's stuff. You know, they're trying to keep everything siloed for the time being.
Right. Which makes sense. Yeah.
Until
Thanos kills...
Until we get that Guardians Star Wars crossover.
Until
you know that's going to happen with Avengers 4,
right.
I mean 5.
Star-Lord kills Kylo Ren finally and we all go home. And then it's, you know... Whatever.
There we go. But
I'm kidding.
The cat is not really a cat.
Okay. Well, I learned something new today, listeners. Okay.
Yeah, it's an alien being. And the thing is, don't forget that in a previous...
Like Men in Black type of thing? Alien
yes.
in Vogue?
Yes.
That's what I thought of.
Because don't forget that Nick Fury says that I lost my eye when I was trusting... And he says, I lost my good eye to somebody that I trusted.
Yes. Yes.
Now we see in the trailer how he's gushing over the cat, and he's like a cat lover.
But maybe they're throwing us off the track again.
In the comic books, he does get attacked by this cat.
Interesting.
So I'm thinking they're pulling from that.
Okay. Okay.
No. I think another key thing to keep in mind. Now, Larry mentioned Carol Danvers being a pilot in the 80s.
Yes.
Yeah. I think this was in the first trailer, if I'm not mistaken, perhaps the second one, but it kind of implied that basically in the film, Carol Danvers has come back to Earth, and you know she's been with the Kree, mm-hmm. and she has very foggy memory of her life on Earth beforehand. So she's kind of trying to. It looks like she's kind of trying to trace back her steps, or you know, find her real history here on Earth.
Now that's
if I'm not mistaken.
That's interesting is that they show that she can't really remember her time on Earth is because when she was kidnapped, she had her memory erased in the comic books in the early 70s.
Mm.
So she had to fight her to get her memories back. So they're touching on all the major tentpoles from the comic books.
All the plot lines of all the different
books.
Right. Interesting.
Now more interesting is that like how Ethan talked about the tie-in to the Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and how that, you know, the Kree blood is what helped Agent Coulson come back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's what brought her back? Yeah.
Yeah. But now she, because the Supreme Being said that we've rebuilt you, you're stronger, you'll live longer, and you'll be more powerful than you ever were.
She's the $5 million man then?
Basically.
Okay.
$6 million.
Sorry.
Oh no! You know they redid the comic. It's now the $6 billion man.
Well, that'd be more appropriate for today's times.
Yeah, I think
aren't they redoing the series or maybe a movie, and he'll be the $6 billion man?
Yes, they are. They're also Kevin Smith. Like 4 years ago, did a mini series. I think it was from Dynamite Comics of the $6 billion man, and they approached him to write the script for the movie. It went to somebody else.
All right, we're way off topic now.
Okay.
But yeah.
So let's
finish up.
Let's make sure we
understand this.
So what we see in all the trailers is that she's got a foggy memory. She's been taught to be a warrior from the Kree. She is they call her Captain Marvel. She went through her binary stage. She's back on Earth trying to get her memory back.
Right.
The Skrulls have come to Earth to take it over.
Yes.
And she's explained this
to you. See them coming on the beach.
And the beach.
Yeah.
And she fights one on the train.
Yes, which is an elderly woman, ironically. Yes. Right. Disguised.
And she has been approached by Agent Coulson and Nick Fury, and she and S.H.I.E.L.D. is... an entity still.
Yes, in the '90s, right?
In the '90s, because you know this goes back to the Ant-Man days, when, and even back to the Agent Carter and all that stuff. But you know, Shield is still around. She approaches them, going like, "Your planet's going to get taken over if we don't stop them now." Goose is there.
The cat.
She's starting to get. We see fragments of her memory of her as a child, as when she's older, and as we are introduced to her co-pilot, but her wingman.
Wingman, yes.
Wing person.
Wingman. Wingman's
fine. Okay, and so we know, we have all these pieces. How and what order they go in, and why we have these scenes, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know if the Scree...
We'll find out next weekend.
We will. And that we do know that the Scree-Skrull War has now bled off onto Earth.
Right.
Yeah,
in the late 90s. So in essence, we're looking back approximately 20 years.
Yes.
From present day.
Yes.
Which, if you think about the end credit scene in the first Iron Man, when Fury makes reference to Tony that you're not alone in the universe,
right?
You know, he's not the only what do they call it, enhanced human,
right?
You know, some people have speculated he's referring back to his encounter with Captain Marvel back in the 90s,
You know, there could have been other characters, but right now we only know that this is his first encounter with a superhero being.
Right, and so we'll find out in a week, but that last statement logically makes sense.
Now, I would like to bring up another after-credits scene, which was at the end of Infinity War.
Okay.
Exactly. I was going to bring it up, too.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Ethan.
Well, I was just going to say, this film obviously ties into Infinity War and Endgame, because the end credits or after credits scene in Infinity Wars, of course, with Fury and Agent Hill, and as people are starting to disappear after the snap, we see Fury fumble for an old pager from the 90s.
Right, a 90s Motorola pager.
When he disappears, you see the pager on the ground, and it's sending a message, and then you see the Captain Marvel logo, so the star that's on her uniform. So obviously there's going to be some type of connection between Captain Marvel and the events of Infinity War and Endgame. Whether we'll see that in Captain Marvel or whether it's something that will come up in Endgame, we don't know just yet.
No, and you know, so we can speculate all we can. You know, most of the credits are up on IMDb. People have used that trying to dissect what we've seen in the all the trailers. Somebody out there put all the trailers together, but we don't know what order anything goes in. But I did read somewhere that in the first 20 minutes is where most of the stuff that's out there comes in.
So most of the trailers are for the first 20 minutes of the movie.
What I see as the, if it's right or wrong, don't know. This is just what people are talking about on the interwebs.
Right. So in a 2+ hour movie, what we see is the first 20 minutes, so the first 20% of the movie. So
yes.
The rest, we have no clue.
If I can add just real quick,
yes.
As it relates to the after credit scene in Infinity War with the pager,
yes.
there was a scene that was on the web. It was not in any of the trailers released domestically in the United States, but apparently it was a clip shown in Russia, because there was a clip with Russian dialogue where we see Fury having a pager similar to the one that we see at the end of Infinity.
So he held on to it then.
We think there's going to be some kind of connection there.
Yes. And also, since the Supreme Being told her that she's going to live longer, that may be. It's just that she's not actually time traveling from the 90s to modern age.
She gets to live. She lives longer than normal humans.
Yes.
Okay.
So we have all these pieces. We have the entire jigsaw puzzle in front of us. How it fits together, we won't know. We'll know next week. The running time, I think, was released today, and I think it's a little over 2 hours. So it's in line with all the other Marvel movies.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Well, we have less than a week. Ladies and gentlemen, we told you, you know, listen to the previous podcast, Guardians of the Galaxy, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. Check out Guardians of the Galaxy as well, because that ties in a lot of these characters you're going to see in this movie are in Guardians of the Galaxy, of course, in the future.
Yes, and so we can only go by what's shown and what little knowledge, what people are talking about or what's been released by all the producers and stuff. So I don't think we can squeeze anything out of what's been seen.
No.
No.
I mean, I think we've covered as much as we can cover and speculate enough as we can.
Mm-hmm. We can infer and hear about what's going on, but we're just going to let everything lie, and then we'll talk about the movie after everybody sees it next week, and that will go up in a couple of weeks. Then we'll, in the meantime, we'll be going back to our regularly scheduled program of going through all 2022 Marvel MCU movies.
This is
going to go up. This went up out of sequence, but that's because the movie is so close at hand. And we're going to do the same thing with Endgame. We're going to do a pre and a post-mortem, I guess.
Right, a post-mortem, right, exactly. Yeah. We'll give away some probably spoilers in the post-Captain Marvel, so we're warning listeners right now.
And right now, Marvel is come out with a whole bunch of new comics for the people that are very interested in it. They have a new line that just issue 1 and 2 are already out that are more in line with the movie universe. There are older ones that you're able to get. They're reprinting, so you don't have to go out and buy real expensive back issues. They're called True Believers, and they're reprinting some of the first appearances, the most significant appearances of Captain Marvel. So you're able to go out there and get those. They're only $1, and so now you could get in sync and in line and see where all the stuff that they're pulling into the movie is coming from. So we're going to wind this up for now. Good luck with getting tickets. Hopefully everybody will be able to
get them.
Get them while you can. The theaters I'm going to are completely sold out. So in the meantime.
There's still some. Last I checked, there's IMAX tickets. But again, go on your apps. Go online. Call if you have to. But this is a must-see in the theaters. I'm happy
to see
it's going to
be
IMAX.
A linchpin for the end game.
Avengers fan,
yes.
This is crucial to the timeline.
Yes.
Must see.
Yep.
All right. Well, and so you could also listen to us on iTunes or any place where you pull down your podcast. You can even go to the website at geekculture.online. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at geekcultureonline. You can follow us on Twitter at
my favorite, your geek culture. Tweet us.
Yes. You can write to me directly at patrick@geekculture.online. You can write to Larry at larry@geekculture.online and write to Ethan at geekculture.online. Follow us everywhere, and please after you see it, let's see what everybody thinks about it, and see I'm going to lay it right down is that all the period sequence that we're seeing in the trailers are nothing but flashbacks. The whole entire movie is going to take place in modern times. I'm going to lay that down now.
Very interesting. So that's your hypothesis.
That's a bold prediction.
That's a very bold prediction. So, okay, everything we've seen are flashbacks.
The whole entire thing
The actual movie takes place in
modern times.
But before Infinity War.
Before Infinity War.
Okay. Patrick said it.
Interesting.
Okay, I'll be thinking of that when I see the movie.
In fact, since Marvel has said that starting with this one, everything's out of order, I'm going to say this one even takes place before Infinity War.
So it is technically out of order, but not by much.
No.
Okay.
That's why when Fury presses the pager, she wasn't off world. She just was somewhere else.
These are bold predictions by Mr. Patrick. Again, listeners, tweet us when you see this movie as you're walking out of the theater. If Patrick's wrong, trust me, light up the Twitterverse. I want to have him melt.
Also, I'm going to be live doing a live Facebook feed that night of pre and post of the movie. So please go to our Facebook page and watch for that.
Right, like the Facebook page in advance so you'll get the updates.
Yes. All right. Until then,
I'm Larry.
I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.